On today's show, we're talking mortgages with Steve Erb with Bell Banks.
Welcome to the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy Martinson and the members of his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage RE/MAX Results. They can be found online at sweethomeminnesota.com. Now, here is Troy Martinson.
Welcome to today's show. With me, as always, in the studio is producer here at Minnesota Podcasting, Marshall Saunders.
Hi, Troy. It's great to be here.
Joining us also today is our special guest, Steve Erb from Bell Bank Mortgage. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Troy. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
What is the market doing right now? As we're looking out the window, we see huge, juicy snowflakes falling, and it's been kind of a weird winter, very cold, very long. The last month or two of last year was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
First month or two were a little disappointing this year. Are we seeing more activity, or what's going on?
First quarter was a little bit, for me personally, in what I'm seeing, first quarter was a little bit lean. Mm-hmm. I've got buyers that are waiting for listings to come on the market in particular areas, which is why I use a lender like Steve.
Sure.
So that when we do find that house, we've got a letter that's very credible, and the seller will say, hey, you know, this is solid. Let's move forward. I personally have six or eight sellers that are not ready to go on the market because of snow and yards and water. And
so it's still really a matter of lack of supply, right? We got buyers
really
that want to buy.
Yeah.
We even have sellers that want to sell, but they're not quite ready to be part of the supply out there because it's just not doesn't
I've
feel
had
right.
Sellers say, you know what? The yard is the selling point of my house, and I've got 3 inches of water out there and ice over the – you can't even see the yard.
Right.
How about you, Steve? What are you seeing?
I would agree with that. It has picked up with applications and interest and phone calls and just in the last 2 to 3 weeks, though. So I'm optimistic that this snow is going to be out of here in a week or so, and it'll be back to business as usual.
Steve, we've done business for quite a while over the years. Just wondering, what's one of the biggest misconceptions you see in lending today with new buyers or things that people may think they have to do or think they have to have? That they maybe don't have to.
A lot of people think that they need 20% of the purchase price to put down.
Sure.
And that's not the case any longer. Actually, first-time home buyers can buy a home with as little as $1,000 out of their pocket.
Wow.
That is,
And you don't have to have perfect credit. You have to have decent credit. But we do a lot of those loans.
Okay, so that $1,000—that's less than a deposit on a rental.
Yeah, right.
You certainly. Know what I mean? Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you're with Bell Banks. Tell me a little bit about Bell Banks and kind of what might make them different than other lenders.
Bell Bank Mortgage is what's known as a correspondent lender, which means that we're a large broker.
Okay.
And we're in charge of the process from start to finish. We process the loans, underwrite the loans.
All in-house,
all locally.
That's huge.
Because of that, Bell Mortgage has an excellent reputation in the real estate market.
Right.
All the listing agents know us, and they love to see our pre-approval letters come in with their offers.
Right, right. That reminds me, remember the days of the underwriter being like down in California?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're like, they're not open yet, or no communication. And now it's so nice when you have a loan officer that can walk down the hallway and say, hey, listen, we're working on this file on 123 Main. What's going on? That's huge.
Yeah, and the underwriting is completely transparent.
Yeah.
Open door policy. If there's ever any questions or we as loan officers might not always have the same opinion about a certain subject that the underwriter has, they're always willing to hear us out and work with us.
And Bell has such an incredible history here in the Twin Cities.
Right.
I mean, they've been around for a long, long time.
It's amazing. Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, Bell Mortgage is the oldest and largest privately held mortgage company in the upper Midwest, established in 1880, if you can believe that.
Wow.
1880.
And what's interesting is 1980 would be impressive.
Yeah.
1880 is really impressive. And what's really something is Bell was so established here as Bell Mortgage that when was it First Bank or State Bank of North Dakota or
State
something
Bank
like that.
State Bank of Fargo.
Yeah, came in and they purchased a huge portion of them or merged. The mortgage company was so impressive and had such a history that the bank that bought them changed the name to the mortgage company rather than the other way around.
They did. Yeah. Yes.
And what a tribute to how respected and how established that name was in the Twin Cities that they assumed their name. That was really something, I thought.
Yeah. I don't think you see that happen very often.
No.
That's for
no.
sure. So I'm lucky to work at the best company in town, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and you've been in the business 30 years, 30 plus years. How long have you been with Bell?
I just had my six-year anniversary.
Yeah. It's kind of a competitive market out there from a real estate agent standpoint and multiple offers, things like that. How is that affecting appraisals?
I can say, generally speaking, the appraisers are doing a fantastic job of making the transactions work.
Okay.
And I don't see a lot of low appraisals.
Okay.
It does happen once in a while.
Yeah.
They understand that there's multiple offers in most cases and right. there's a huge demand, which doesn't necessarily directly equal value. They're making it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I usually Bell is one of the lenders that I have run into this problem less with, I will tell you that. So I don't know how they who they're using, but it's nice to have a little common sense when you get into these things.
Yeah, and Bell does have a panel, if you will.
Okay.
A finite number of appraisers that
sure.
we've vetted and have the qualifications and the certifications that we require.
You bet.
And so we work with the best of the best for the appraisal department.
That's good.
After the big meltdown in 2008, there was such a break from the banks versus the appraisers.
Yeah.
And that was for good reason, I'm sure. That needed to be reformed. But some banks went to such an extreme that now the appraisals kind of leave the realm of reality
right.
and really slow down home buying and really slow down, you know, what consumers want. I think Bell has done a good job of kind of bridging that gap of not being in bed with the appraisers and not kind of rubber stamping everything, but yet at the same time not going to the other extreme where they can't even communicate, they can't share any resources, they can't have a reasonable discussion. Don't you feel that way?
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we work directly with the appraisers in that we don't have an appraisal management company in between us and the appraisers. So we have a collateral risk manager who works with every appraisal that has any kind of issues or questions. And
sure.
So it's very open door policy.
That's good. Yeah, that makes the process even better. Well, do you guys ever offer incentives or perks to your clients? Is there any kind of system like that that you guys have kind of come up with?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah,
currently,
absolutely.
Because we're owned by Bell Banks, we're running a promotion whereby people that close on a new home with us or refinance and choose to open up a checking account with Bell Banks are eligible for a $500 bonus.
Nice.
Oh. Just put $500 in their account.
That's awesome.
It's a great bank. It's free checking, free checks. They even reimburse you four times for the other bank's ATM fees that you incur.
Well, I'm always hearing about 1-800 lenders and .com lenders. Just kind of wanted to get your opinion on, you know, how does Bell Banks differ from something like that and maybe the personal service aspect of it?
One of the biggest things that we bring to the table is of course, the service and our reputation.
Sure.
And for getting the job done with the least amount of hassle for everybody. And in this market, that goes a long way with multiple offers on every transaction nearly.
Right.
When the listing agent can go to the seller and say, hey, this offer here, although it may not be the highest, has a Bell mortgage pre-approval letter associated with it.
Right.
And I happen to know this loan officer because I've worked with them in the past.
Right.
I think that we should take this offer.
Right.
And I call the listing agent too and introduce myself and let them know that I've verified income and assets and credit and the buyer's rock solid and we have no concerns on the financing.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, about how much communication that you have with the listing agent. I think I'd imagine that's really important to go a long way to kind of make them feel comfortable that this financing is pretty rock solid and we're not going to have problems down the road?
Exactly. Yeah, it starts with that first call when the offer is being accepted. I try and time it so the listing agent gets that call shortly after they've received the offer, but before they've presented it to the seller, so they can present it with confidence and say, hey, this loan officer actually called me, which honestly never happens.
Doesn't happen. Yeah. I do know as a listing agent, if I get a phone call from a lender, from someone who's brought in an offer, huge.
Yeah.
Just huge. In the lenders I can't get a hold of.
Right.
You know, it's
very
like,
negative.
Yeah. It's like, really? You can't call me back?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's big.
It's yeah. Big. So that's one way that we can actually save the client's money by getting their offer accepted. It saves time because you're not back out showing them more homes.
Right.
They get their offer accepted on the home that they wanted.
Well, buyers always ask me, you know, I got my down payment money, but what are closing costs? And what from a lender's standpoint, what would be the best way to explain that to a consumer?
I take a little bit deeper dive on that, and I think what they're really asking is, how much is it going to cost me to buy this house?
Sure.
So there's different components and buckets that go into that. First bucket is their down payment.
Right.
Can be as little as 3% of the purchase price. The second bucket is the closing costs, which are, I say, costs for services rendered, appraisal costs, title, insurance, mortgage registration tax, things like that. And then the bucket number three is where we start up their escrow account for taxes and insurance.
Sure.
And escrow is just a fancy name for a bank account that's associated with your mortgage, out of which the mortgage company will pay the taxes and insurance when those bills come due. In Minnesota, the taxes are due in May and October, and the insurance is always due on the anniversary of the closing date.
Okay.
So we take the bucket number one, the down payment, the closing costs, and then the tax and insurance escrow setup, and that's the total cost associated with purchasing that home.
Okay.
And then we have credits for example, their earnest money, possibly. We add all those up, give them credits for the credits, and the cash to close is what they need to come to closing with in the form of a cashier's check or other certified funds.
Sure.
To break that down a little bit more and give you a better idea of what the closing cost part of it is, some of those fees are fixed. Like the appraisal is $470 for a conventional loan.
Sure.
And some of them are a percentage of the loan. So the best way I can answer that is the closing costs are going to range from 1.5% of the purchase price to maybe 3%.
Okay. Depending on the loan type and product you're using.
And size, mainly.
Yeah. Size,
So the larger the loan, the larger the lower the percentage of the closing cost is going to be.
Sure.
So on a $400,000 loan, your closing cost might be $6,500, which is about 1.5% of the purchase price, where if you had a $100,000 purchase, closing costs are going to be $3,500, which is about 3.5% of the purchase price.
Sure, that makes sense. What is one of the biggest challenges you've had in your experience as a loan officer, do you think?
I would say credit. And in particular, even people—
Credit's a tricky thing.
Credit is tricky.
Yeah.
Yep. And I wish they had a class in high school to teach people how to manage credit.
Right.
Because you can pay all your bills on time and still have a low credit score.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't manage your credit properly. For example, revolving debt, credit cards.
Sure.
Are the biggest culprit I see for people that have lower than expected credit scores because they carry a balance, which is not all bad. But if your balance to limit ratio is excessive, that has a major negative effect on your credit score. So the sweet spot is somewhere between 10 and 20% of the limit as a balance.
Oh.
So if you have a credit card that has a $1,000 limit, you want to have the balance, when I pull your credit, that is, you want to have your balance at about $200.
So that's an interesting thing. You're absolutely right. People think, well, I pay my bills on time. My credit should be perfect.
Right.
But you know, it's a lot trickier than that. So really keeping those revolving lines down.
Yeah, the balance to limit ratio makes up about 30% of your credit score.
Okay.
Another 30% of your credit score is history. So I see people oftentimes closing credit cards. And they might close a credit card that they've had for 15 years when they really should keep that open. You don't necessarily have to use it.
Sure.
But that builds your credit score.
Speaking of ratios, what's a typical income to debt ratio? that someone can kind of get by with as far as a convention. And is conventional different than FHA when it comes to that? And
yeah, great question.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, FHA is a little more liberal in their underwriting standards, which includes credit scoring and debt-to-income ratio.
Okay.
Generally speaking, for conventional, you want to be below 45% of your gross monthly income.
Okay.
And FHA, in some cases, we can go up to 55% of your gross monthly income.
Okay.
No, I don't necessarily recommend that people do that.
Sure.
But there's a lot of factors that are occurring that aren't necessarily on the loan application. There might be somebody else living in the home sharing in the expenses. So
sure.
The debt-to-income ratio that we use to qualify them for the loan may not be the real-life debt-to-income ratio.
Sure.
So a question to both of you. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm kind of maybe a younger person than I am and I'm living in an apartment, what's in it for me to wait a little bit longer? Should I be waiting around kind of watching the market and kind of storing up for a bigger down payment? Or should I be looking now to kind of make an investment in real estate?
I guess my feeling on that is no better time than the present. If you're thinking about getting in the market, if you're thinking about purchasing a home, now's the time. I mean, rates historically low.
Yeah, and they took just a big dive a couple weeks ago, and I can't imagine them going any lower.
Right, and home prices really just continue to go up, up, up. So, right. I mean, I think if you're saving money with the thought of I'm going to save up a bigger down payment, I don't think you'll ever catch that that curb.
Unless you're saving like 10 grand a month or
right,
something.
Right, right. Yeah, then you might.
Yeah, I agree with that. It seems like you can't save fast enough. And with the down payment assistance programs that are available these days,
sure,
it's best to get in now while we know what we know, which is what the home values are today and what the rates are today. And because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring,
sure,
except for the values will probably continue to go up. And once you're a homeowner, you can benefit from that and gain equity much faster than you could probably save out of your weekly paychecks.
Agreed. And unless you're living with mom and dad or another family member, it's rent versus buy, right?
Right.
And rents are not cheap.
No, not
$2,000 average in the Twin Cities.
So. Yeah, you think about that. You know, you move into an apartment and start up, sign a new 12-month lease, and you have to pay the first month and then the last month and a damage deposit. Mm-hmm. That's more than what you'd have to pay to buy a house.
Right.
In most cases.
Well, thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Steve Erb with Bell Banks Mortgage. And how can we get a hold of you, Steve, if we want to?
My NMLS number is 471-859.
Okay.
And the best way to reach me is to call me 612-963-5602. I also have a website, steveerb.com, and my email address is serb@bellbanks.com.
And ERB is just ERB.
No H, just ERB.
As easy as it gets.
Right.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Troy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Troy.
Thanks, Marshall.
This has been the Troy Martinson Group Real Estate Podcast. Troy and his group are licensed real estate agents in the state of Minnesota with the brokerage RE/MAX Results. You can find them online at sweethomeminnesota.com. This show has been produced by Minnesota Podcasting, and they can be found online at mnpodcasting.com. The views expressed on this show are those of the individual participants and may not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of RE/MAX Results or Minnesota Podcasting.